Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to MLS UK Show Stoppage Time, another playoff special. But as always, I'm joined by
Elliot Holman. Greetings.
We are now into the playoffs, past round one, and we've only got eight teams left who can win MLS Cup. We're going to be discussing what happened last weekend in round one, as well as looking ahead to this week's action in round two and taking a look at some of the biggest stories in MLS to go with it. Elliot, let's start then. Let's not waste any more time. We're in the West because I thought last time we concentrated on the East quite a bit at the start. Let's start at the West this time. Of course, LA Galaxy won against Nashville 1-0. They'll be facing their city rivals LAFC in the next round. And this match, to be honest, Galaxy probably deserved to win in the end, although Nashville did have the chances.
Yeah, this is the one that broke my bracket, so thanks for starting with that. That'll teach me to just go with something different to try and be unique. Nashville are a solid organised team, and we talked about that, but LA Galaxy came into the playoffs with the form. They were an informed team, so can't say it's a surprise. It was a narrow victory, and they've set up an El Clasico. I'm absolutely here for it.
El Clasico, it's the MLS El Clasico, but you are right, it's LA Galaxy travelling to LAFC, and LA Galaxy are a team in form, and I've got to say, when I was watching it, and I know Chicharito's goal was cancelled, was taken off for VAR, but the way him and Ricky Puig are linking up, that's kind of what we've been after for LA Galaxy, isn't it? Just a couple of strikers that are in sync with each other.
Yeah, obviously signed the likes of Douglas Costa at the start of the season. I remember watching LA Galaxy really early on in the season and just thinking, they're not creating here, which is not what we expected. But since Ricky's turned up, it's a whole new level, isn't it? And there's a lot of teams in the league that I think are struggling with that balance of having a solid defence and then being creative in attack. LA Galaxy certainly look like they're creating chances.
Yeah, and ironically, it was one of the members of the solid defence, Julian Harujo, who scored the goal to make it 1-0. A header with his pink hair. I mean, that hair is made for a headed goal to win the game, isn't it?
Yeah, players try things in the playoffs, don't they? They do strange things, but whatever gets them through. A beautiful header from a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah, I noticed that DeAndre Yedlin for Inter Miami tried something similar with his hair. It didn't quite work out for him, but we'll discuss that later on. Just a note on Nashville, of course, it was difficult for them, wasn't it? Gary Smith wasn't there, he was ill. Steve Guppy, who's the assistant at Nashville, and any 90s English football fans will recognise that name from his days at Leicester.
It's Leicester, Robbie Savage, Darren Eady, Steve Guppy, Muzzy, is it? Oh, what a time.
But I mean, for Nashville, obviously it's disappointing they've gone out. They'd have liked to have gone a lot further. It's the first time actually in their short time in MLS that they've gone out at this stage. But overall, it's been a good season, hasn't it, for Nashville? Lots to build on.
Been lots of good seasons for Nashville, to be fair. I think maybe we could argue one of the more consistent teams, since they joined the league. Because, when you look at Minnesota, Atlanta, Orlando, there's been ups, but there's been a lot of downs. And they've been rather consistent, which is good to see. Austin as well, only had two seasons, won very up and one very down. So fair play to Nashville. I think it's harder than you could ever imagine to actually be that consistent in MLS with all of the roster rules and regulations and contracts and a change of personnel. So fair play.
Yeah, and speaking of Austin, let's move on to the next game in the in round one of the playoffs. And, well, this game had everything, didn't it? It finished Austin 2, RSL 2. Austin then won on penalties, 3-1. It was quite convincing in the end with the penalties. Even the penalty RSL managed to score, the goalie should have probably saved it. RSL went 2-0 up, and then Austin pulled one back. Then they got a man sent off, RSL, and from there it was just a matter of time until Austin were going to score, right?
Is it just me that was expecting a Housery masterclass from RSL when they went not 2-0 up, 1-0 up, but 1-0 up? I was like, they're going to do it again. They're going to do what they did last year. And when it was 2, I thought, I'm really fearing for Austin here because they're at home in front of the fans. This is not going to be pretty to watch. And I genuinely thought at that point, I don't know if Austin have a way back into this. But obviously getting it to penalties was crucial. And once it went to penalties, let's be honest, the quality there was only ever going to be one winner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's talk about the big talking point in this, of course, was the penalty to equalise in the 94th minute, which Dreyusi put away. If you notice in the first half at 2-0, RSL's penalty, which Cardoza scored, it was a handball, but the referee had to go to VAR. To me, that was a lot clearer than the handball against Scott Caldwell that was called in the last minute of this one. I mean, considering that it was a pretty hard shot that was drilled at him, he was probably less than a yard away from it, and his hand wasn't exactly away from his body. I've got to say, if I was an RSL fan, I'd be fuming.
Yeah, I mean, we just want consistency across the league, don't we? Across the world, in fact. We want consistency with refereeing. But with that consistency, there has to be... You have to take each individual situation into account. If it's just drilled, like you say, just drilled at him from a yard away, it's very different from another ball to hand, maybe in the box where there's a bit of arm movement, a bit more time. So we want consistency, but you have to treat each case on merit. And you're going to feel aggrieved.
Yeah, well, Austin, you know, obviously I've not had great form going into the playoffs. We've pointed that out on previous episodes. You're kind of looking at turning points, aren't you, in the playoffs? Little moments that just get you through and get you through to the next stage. Austin now will play Dallas, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But could that moment, that bit of luck at the end of that match, be that moment that Austin have looked for to get them back in the swing of things?
Absolutely. You know, there's no doubt when they went 2-0 down, it will have been a shock to the system. The fans will have been surprised. I don't think even the coaching staff would ever have envisioned being 2-0 down at home after the season they've had. Now, you know, they got away with it. Every team has off days. You know, we've seen it with Philly getting hammered randomly. You know, LA have had off days, not many. But I think they now go into this, okay, Texas Derby. They're thinking, okay, if we beat Dallas here, it's a straight shootout with one of the LA clubs, and they could argue they've been better than LA Galaxy, and they could argue at points they've played better than LAFC. So they'll go into that confident if they can beat Dallas.
So Austin now will face Dallas, as you said, and Dallas set up that Texas Derby with a win against Minnesota. They won on penalties as well after a 1-1 draw in normal time. Reynoso got Minnesota's goal, and then Dallas equalised to take it into penalties. But the biggest talking point in this one is about some disrespectful penalties. A friend of the show, Dane St. Clair, was put on his backside twice with two Panenkas. You know, of course, Franco Cara got the first one, and then Alan Velasco got the winner with the last one. I mean, where do you stand on this, Panenkas in shootouts? I mean, they won the game, so I'm sure Dallas will be saying, well, you've just got to put the ball in the net. But is it a bit disrespectful?
I don't think so. I don't think it's... It takes balls. That was the penalty to win the game and to get them through. I just think if you've got the balls to do it, there's a trade-off, isn't there? You're going to look like a mug if you get that wrong. If the keeper stays planted and he just catches it or heads it away or knees it away, whatever, you look like an idiot. There's much more disrespectful things in football than that.
Well, yeah, you have a point with that. And yeah, I agree, actually. I think it's a lot has been made of nothing, really, because, you know, the ball's got to go in the net, and that's what we did. And we have seen, like you said, we've seen players make fools of themselves. I'm looking in LA, I'm looking at Chicharito, I'm looking at Carlos Vela in the last few months. And no, that credit to Dallas, they got the goals, and they got through in the end to face Austin. Minnesota, like, we kind of didn't expect much of Minnesota in the playoffs, did we? We both said that we expected Dallas to win. I think for Minnesota, even though they did make playoffs in the end, they've got to improve next year, haven't they?
They have, but I think there's also an element of Nashville, you know, what we said about Nashville, that they're often there or thereabouts, and that is impressive. You're not always going to be incredible. You know, the reason I'm demanding so much from Orlando at the minute is because they've not been there often enough when they should have been. And I think now that, you know, they've got a roster of players together that should comfortably make the playoffs, so I think that's why we're sort of demanding a bit more. Minnesota have always been there or thereabouts. Very well run club, very well managed, and they'll be there again next year, and that's a credit to them.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. Whereas you look at some teams like SKC, for example, who have had a poor season this year after getting into the playoffs last year, you don't think that's going to be the same with Minnesota, especially with Adrian Heath, who knows this league inside out. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how Minnesota do. With the likes of Reynoso in the team as well, they're always going to score goals, so you'd expect that they will put up a more of an effort next year. But you know, as an Atlanta fan, you've got to give credit to Minnesota, because when they're not playing particularly as well as we, you know, we've seen them before, they're still making playoffs, whereas Atlanta, of course, we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's using what you've got to your advantage. They seem to do that really, really well. You could argue that Atlanta had their problems, but they certainly had a roster that could have made the playoffs. So it's about getting everything to come together all at the right time, and Minnesota to do that 9 times out of 10.
So let's go over to the East then, and the Cincy train keeps on rolling on. They upset my bracket in the first game of the playoffs by going to Red Bulls and winning 2-1. Red Bulls did actually go 1-0 up through a peach of a goal from Lewis Morgan, and then Cincy came back to win 2-1. And as we said last time, as we said on previous episodes, when you've got Acosta, Vasquez and Brenner, do not count out Cincy no matter what part of the game it is. And they proved it this weekend. They got there in the end 2-1, and they have gone into the next round of the playoffs.
They're almost the LAFC of the East when you want a goal. You know, if you go 1-0 down, they're the team that aren't worried about going 1-0 down, I think personally. They've got goals coming from all over, and you know, they've got that roster right, and That's you're not wrong. The Cincy train is rolling. It's a big team to knock out, especially away. And they go really difficult game now against Philly. But I would the biggest credit I can pay to Cincinnati is I wouldn't be surprised if they went and got a result there. Yes, it would be a bit of an upset, but I wouldn't be shocked. I think they're capable of it.
Yeah, me too. You know, you look at the even recently. I think 2 or 3 months ago, I think it was maybe August, July time, they beat Philadelphia. They beat them. It was at home, but they still beat them. So they know how to beat them, and they'll be going there with full of confidence. Because, yeah, this is FC Cincinnati. This is the side that have finished bottom of the whole league the last 3 seasons. If Cincinnati go out in the next round, no one's going to look and go, well, that's a disappointment. They're going to say, well, actually, credit to Cincinnati. They've actually shown something for once. So they're in a no-lose situation. All the pressure is going to be on Philadelphia. Just like in this game, all the pressure was on Red Bulls. Their fans were more expectant that they'd go through. And in the end, they managed to go through themselves and get into the next stage. And they're winning hearts all over MLS. Maybe not in Columbus, Ohio. Although, to be fair, I did see MLS gone wild. I saw him in a Cincinnati shirt this weekend. So they're winning him over. So they're winning some Columbus fans over. And I think them, maybe Montreal. I think for the rest of us who don't have teams in the playoffs, I think there's a lot of people rooting for Cincinnati.
Yeah, agreed. Cincinnati, Montreal. Cincinnati got a great attack. Montreal all throughout the field, really well organized, really good coach, really good philosophy. I love to see that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Montreal then. Of course, they beat Orlando 2-0. I don't really want to dwell on Orlando because we've discussed them in the last few episodes. Well, you have, anyway. And we didn't really expect them to go through. I mean, Orlando had a few good chances, but overall, Montreal convincingly won in the end. 2-0, two goals in the second half. And I've got to say, I really enjoyed, when I was watching the goals, I really enjoyed seeing behind the goal, the fans. It's kind of like a European atmosphere they've got. And they're going to be at home for the majority, well, especially this round, potentially next round as well. And if the results go right for them in the West, they could play have MLS Cup at their stadium. That home crowd could really get them over the line.
Yeah, I agree. Atmosphere was incredible. It's really good to see. You know, if not always had that. A team to get behind and celebrate with a chance of going and even making the playoffs, let alone winning MLS Cup. So really impressive atmosphere. I enjoyed the game because of the atmosphere. I enjoyed, you know, the spectacle. I went into it pretty much knowing Orlando were never going to win that because Montreal are so organized. Really, really lovely to see a proper coach trying to play proper football. So well organized, trying to do things the right way. Fair play to Montreal.
Yeah, Milihajlovic got the penalty right at the end to make it 2-0. He's going to AZ Alkmaar after MLS Cup. We do love a story in the MLS Cup playoffs. Could his final game in MLS be MLS Cup winning it for Montreal?
We'll have to see. They're going to have to overcome New York City, which is not easy, but it's certainly doable if they're as organized as they were in the first round. And then maybe they get MLS Cup played at home, you know, against somebody like Dallas or LA Galaxy.
Well, this is the first time since 2016 that Montreal have made the stage of the playoffs. So that's probably why the fans are enjoying it so much. But after the season they've had, the run they're on, I think most fans would be very excited with that. Right, let's close off this round of the playoffs by looking at New York City v Inter Miami. It was a battle of Liverpool versus Manchester in the dugouts. Cushing won against Phil Neville, and it was quite a convincing win in the end for NYCFC. Higuain almost got a goal on his last ever game, but it was chalked off through VAR for offside. But after that, there was only one winner, wasn't there?
Yeah, look, we said it at the start, Inter Miami, they made the playoffs for the first time. Fair play. You know, that's progress for them. And they'll look back at the season as a success. They would have taken that at the start of the season. We made the playoffs. It's progress. NYCFC are a different beast to Inter Miami, to be fair. They're a lot further down the line. They won MLS Cup last year. They've still got a really good roster. So that result didn't surprise me. What I do think is going to be one of the most contested games is NYC versus Montreal.
Yeah, it will do. We're going to talk more about the matches coming up in a moment and in the next round of the playoffs. But NYCFC, you look at the goals, just to briefly round off that game. The attacking play is brilliant at the moment. The passing, they really, considering that they've had a disruptive season, they started okay, but, you know, they were in the Champions League. They then had a bit of a dip once Ronnie Dyla left. But now Nick Cushing has really got them playing some good stuff at the right time.
Yeah, we were worried about them, weren't we, with the Castellanos talk. Ronnie Dyla leaving, say that with a few hours sleep. But certainly pushed on. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Just get over the line. Just get over the line, get into the playoffs and a team like them can really come alive now.
Right, so now it's time to look ahead to the next round of matches in the playoffs. What's happening this week? Well, on Thursday night, it's one hell of a night of MLS action. We've got El Trafico, or the MLS El Clasico, as Elliot likes to call it. And we've got Philly joining the party as well. Let's talk about El Trafico then. LAFC versus LA Galaxy. The LAFC boss was asked this week whether this was the biggest match of his career. He says no. I mean, maybe his managerial career, considering that he played in a World Cup for the US men's national team, is probably a silly question to ask, to be honest. But it is a massive game, isn't it? And a game that both sets of fans will be desperate to win.
Yeah, I mean, two derbies in the West. We'll come on to come on to Texas, but you know, this game is one of the biggest in MLS. It has been ever since its inception, since the Zlatan days when LAFC were new to it, and it was Vea versus Zlatan. This is going to be peak MLS. It's win or go home against your bitter rivals. LAFC have had an incredible season, but this could just ruin it all. This really could overshadow their whole season.
Well, this is what we love about the playoffs, and we see it every season, and this is why the pressure is on Philadelphia and LAFC, is that because the teams that do so well in the regular season, it's very rare that they actually meet each other in the MLS Cup. One of them loses. One of them has a bad game in the playoffs, and it ruins everything. So this is why the pressure is on LAFC. They've had such a fantastic season. They've been so dominant in the in the West. They won Supporters Shield, but who remembers that if they then lose at home to their biggest rivals? It all goes out the window. So with this one, I mean, it's so hard to call, isn't it? Because on paper, yeah, you'd look at LAFC, but Galaxy are playing so well at the moment. They're going into it with a lot of form. They've picked up 22 points away from home this season and lost only one of the last five away games. So it's not as easy as just to say LAFC will win this.
No, it isn't. I would back them. I know LA Galaxy have hit a bit of form, but I would back LAFC to do the job. Home advantage, strong roster, experienced coach as well, as you touched on. They do get my pick, but I do agree that this isn't as clear cut.
No, best home record though in the league, along with Philadelphia, who are playing Cincinnati also on Thursday evening. Late Thursday night here in the UK. Philly v Cincy. We talked about Cincy. We can cause an upset. We do believe in them. But considering that Philly had such a good home record, didn't lose, it's going to take a lot to turn that around, isn't it?
Do you know what? I'll go for it. I'll back Cincy. We spoke to Jack Elliott. I've piled heaps of praise on Philly. In fact, every year on this podcast, because Jim Curtin has got not just the team, but the whole club from top to bottom so organised. But in a one-off game, there's every chance Cincy can, with that attack, can go and hurt them. And I'll make it interesting. I'll back them.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it is good. It's such a fascinating matchup. I think you'll have the energy in the LA game, but in this one, it's just fascinating to see that Philadelphia, such a good defensive record, such good defenders against that attacking Cincinnati team. Cincy have lost one in the last 15 or last 14 matches, sorry. Their last away defeat was against Columbus in July, so they've got such a good record going into this. I'm going to back Philly, A, because it's different to you, and I'm not as ballsy as you to put it out on Cincy. But also, as much as I'd love Cincy to go through, I think it is about time that in MLS Cup, we had the big hitters. And that's no disrespect to Cincy, they've done very well. But I mean, the teams that are finishing first and second in the conferences getting to MLS Cup. I already said I think Austin might win it. But, if it's an LAFC versus Philly MLS Cup, I think that's going to be an amazing atmosphere, an amazing day. But yeah, good luck to Cincy. We'd love to see the this magical run continue. However, I do just have a feeling that Philly will be all right. They'll do it. Right, Sunday evening, Sunday night here in the UK is the next two matches. It kicks off with Montreal.
Why are they all on days where we have to get up? Put it on a Friday and a Saturday. What are you doing?
Hey, if I was in charge of the MLS schedule, then that's what I'd do. But unfortunately for us two, none of us have any say in it at all. Stick on some coffee, maybe book the day off work on Monday or ring in sick, because there are two more fascinating matches happening in the playoffs. It's Montreal versus NYCFC. These two teams, including the Campeones Cup for NYCFC, have won the last five. Something's got to give.
Yeah, try and pick a winner. It's... You know, this is a proper battle. This is. I keep going first. Come on, who are you backing?
Well, I'm just looking at my stats here, and I've, like I said, both teams have won the last five games. Montreal have the fifth best home record in the regular season in the East. New York City FC have the fifth best away record so far this season in the East. The last match was in Montreal and it was 0-0 in July. So there's no signs there, apart from Montreal finishing above NYCFC in the standings. There's no signs that tell me it's going to go one or the other way. I love what Montreal are doing. Similar to Cincy, it's kind of a bit of an underdog story with how they did last year and in previous years. I don't know. I just think NYCFC, they did it last year. They know what they're doing in the playoffs. I've got a funny feeling. It might go to penalties, but I've got a funny feeling NYCFC might do it.
Okay. NYC have kind of got that chaotic energy, whereas Montreal are quite organised. I'll go Montreal just because I think they could maybe make that count, make that work against them. They maybe take it to, a bit of extra time. I think they've got more of an organized approach. So I'm going to go for Montreal.
I don't know about you, but I feel that this season over other seasons, when we've got to this stage of the playoffs, there's a lot of equal matches happening. You know, in the past, we've maybe looked and thought, oh, well, they're definitely going to win, or that team's definitely going to win, and they win by 3 or 4. You know, especially when it was two legs, I remember there was like 5-0s happening. This is really equal. And going into the next game, Austin v Dallas, this is another one where you can't really call it.
No, you can't. I think... Austin have caught the eye this season, and so I think you're sort of drawn to them. They've kind of got it going on at the minute. That, you know, they've got the stadium and they're scoring the goals, and it's a new team. They have massively turned a corner from last year. You're sort of drawn to them because you sort of think, oh, what a lovely story. But Dallas, you know, Dallas are back, and they're back in a big way. So this isn't clear cut. Oh, it really is tough. I'm going to go home advantage.
Yeah, well, I've got to go home advantage because I've backed them to win the whole thing. I can't go back on that now.
I think they're going to win the whole thing, but they might lose to Dallas here.
But if you look at the stats, if you look at how Austin, if you count the RSL game as a draw, they've only won one in the last eight. So, I mean, they're always going to make playoffs, but they have stumbled into the playoffs. Dallas have been in much better form. But, you know, I just think after the other day, the looks perhaps with Austin at the moment. I think it'll go to penalties again. I think there's not much between the sides. And if you look in the regular season, they were both draws in, you know, their games as well. But yeah, Austin for me.
Okay, yeah, both going Austin then.
Yes, we are. Right, we'll see what happens this weekend in MLS. Who makes it to the conference finals? And then we'll discuss that next week on another very special Stoppage Time playoff edition of the MLS UK show. But if you're a regular listener, regular viewer of Stoppage Time, you'll know that what we normally do is discuss the biggest news stories in MLS. And there's a few stories that I want to discuss before we leave today. The first one is that the wages have been announced, player wages. This is one of the most exciting times of the season because we get to see what some of our favourite players are earning. And there's a few names that have surprised me, actually. First of all, I mean, Insigne being the most paid player in MLS doesn't surprise me. But what surprises me is he earns almost double that the next guy, Shaqiri, earns. Like, this guy's out on his own.
Yeah, and this is a new MLS era, isn't it? You know, the 6 million for Vea years are over. You know, this is the next era. Clubs are going big. They're having to because they're trying to outdo each other. Not a surprise to see it's him, but it's just a lot of money.
It is $14 million. Shaqiri's on just over $8 million. Then you've got Chicharito in third on nearly $7.5 million. Bernardeschi for Toronto as well. They're spending big $6 million. And then Douglas Costa earning the money that he has deserved. He's maybe not at LA Galaxy this year. With 5.8 million. Down in 23rd, we've got Gareth Bale with 2.3 million. I mean, would you be swapping Douglas for Bale's money?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Bale was a risk. Let's remember that. You know, injury prone, needed to get fit. He's kind of using the club a bit to get fit for the World Cup. So I understand why it was what it was, but that's a long, long way off the top earners.
It is. Chiellini only earning $1 million. I say only earning $1 million a year.
I wouldn't mind.
So LAFC really utilising, you know, the their money there with those two players, whereas Toronto have spent 20 million. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Toronto will do very well next season with those players. But it's funny how, if you'd have said to the average soccer fan, well, Bale and Chiellini and Insigne and Bernardeschi, I don't think many would put their wages in the in where they actually are. You know, they, maybe Bernardeschi wouldn't be more where Bale is and Bale would be where Insigne is. But hey, this is MLS and this is what we love. One more note on the wages. The St. Louis wages have come out. Roman Berkey, the goalkeeper that they've got, is getting a guaranteed $1.6 million for his wage. Of course, St. Louis coming into the league next year. That's makes him by far the highest paid goalkeeper, even, you know, far more than Andre Blake. Is this a sign of where St. Louis are going? Are they trying to keep it tight at the back for their debut in MLS?
Yeah, well, joining MLS now, as we just touched on with the salary, joining MLS now, it's like jumping onto a moving train. You can't just rock up, you know, with things stuck together with a bit of sellotape. You know, you've got to be ready to hit the ground running. You're going to have to spend. That's the way it is now. You're going to have to build a good roster, balance with experience, balance with, you know, a lot of financial depth as well as experience. And they're going in the right way. That's what you want to see. There's no point just joining and trying to cling on for dear life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think these players that are coming over who, you know, MLS needs them as much as you could argue that they need MLS, but they're wanting to be paid for that. And I guess for MLS, if they want to move forward, then you are going to have to pay players like that big wages to get them to the league. Right, finally, we need to talk awards. It's awards season in MLS. Now, we have seen that Jesus Ferreira has won the Young Player of the Year, becoming the first Dallas player to win it since, well, last year when Ricardo Pepi got the award. He was ahead of Thiago Almada for Atlanta and Brenner for Cincinnati. Let's go through our picks then for some of the others. We're going to leave out, I know they've already chose referee of the year, but we were discussing off air that that is, some of the refereeing that we've seen this year, that is ridiculous to have that award.
Yeah, I think the less said about that, the better. To be
so let's start with coach of the year, Siggy Schmidt, coach of the year. The finalists are Tarundolo for LAFC, Jim Curtin for Philadelphia, and Wilfred Nancy for Montreal. Who gets your pick?
I don't think Nancy will win it, but I think he maybe deserves a shout for what he's done, because, you know, he's really imprinted his style onto Montreal. It's difficult, isn't it? LAFC's roster is so good, and if they weren't top, you'd be asking questions of him. You know, I think Jim Curtin's always a deserved winner as well, but I'll probably go with him.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I'd go with Nancy based on how far Montreal have come this season. If he doesn't win it, it's one or the other. I'm going to go Jim Curtin just because you look at LAFC's players, they should be where they are anyway. And Jim Curtin consistently does a really good job with a squad that is an excellent squad, but there's no big names in it. So he gets the best out of those players. So, that's a tough one to call. Let's move on to, newcomer of the year. We've got Thiago Almada for Atlanta. Atlanta had to have someone in the nominees after a poor season. Cucho Hernandez, Jordi Petrovic for New England Revolution. Maybe Pooj from LA Galaxy would be in there if he'd been there a bit longer. But who gets your vote for this one?
You go first this time. Come on.
I'm tempted for Hernandez. I really like how he started his Columbus career. I'm probably going to go for Petrovic, though, for New England Revolution.
Okay, it's interesting. I was going to go Hernandez. I think in terms of striking a bit of fear into the opposition, you know, like I was thinking on decision day, I was like, God, coming up against Cucho, like you just don't want it. Do you know what I mean? So I think that probably earns him the title alone.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing him next year. It's a new start for Columbus, isn't it, with a different head coach. I'm looking forward to see what they do. And you know, this is it. In MLS, you need that striker. You need someone who's going to score you all them goals. And he's definitely someone who can do that for Columbus. Let's move on to Defender of the Year then. You've got Alex Collins for NYCFC, and then unsurprisingly, you've got two Philadelphia players, Jacob Glesnes and Kai Wagner. Who gets your vote for this one?
Glesnes, just for consistently scoring goal of the season as well. I saw an interesting quote from Gazdag as well, outraged that he wasn't nominated, which I thought was bold.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of players in there. For a league that is very attacking, there is actually a lot of defensive players that could be disappointed that they've not made the nominees. Goalkeeper of the Year, you've got Andre Blake for Philly, Drake Callender for Inter Miami, and Jordi Petrovic for New England Revolution. I know who I'm going with straight away. Are you going to agree with what I'm saying?
It's an old favourite for me.
Andre Blake. Right, and finally, MVP. So there's five finalists for this. You've got Cristian Arango for LAFC, Andre Blake for Philadelphia, Sebastian Driussi for Austin, Javier Chicharito Hernandez for LA Galaxy, and Hani Mukhtar for Nashville. Who gets your vote for this one?
You could argue that if Chicharito had stopped messing around with penalties, they could have a much stronger chance in the playoffs. But maybe some home advantage. But you can't look past Driussi for me.
Really? Okay. I was gonna go for Mukhtar, but I just think with Driussi, of what he did the other day, he grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. He got them over the line. And do I see Mukhtar doing that as much? Possibly not. I mean, Andre Blake has had one hell of a season, but let's face it, MLS MVP is probably never going to be a goalkeeper.
No, so he's, no.
He should get an award in itself for being nominated. And then you've got Arango, who's been great for LAFC, but I don't think he stands out as much compared to the likes of Mukhtar and Driussi. So just to be different to you, I'm going to go Mukhtar, but Driussi really does impress me, and I think if he carries on next year, I think he will probably win it next year if he doesn't this year.
Imagine getting those two in the same team, getting Driussi and Mukhtar together.
Yeah, well, maybe All-Star next year.
Yeah.
Maybe. Although, you know, if it's against a Mexican team, it will definitely still be Chicharito and Carlos Vela up front. Right, well, that's it from us this week. Don't forget, the MLS UK show is sponsored by Soccer90.com. Head to Soccer90.com. Choose your jerseys for the playoffs. They'll have next year's kits on there as well when they get announced. And, of course, World Cup jerseys ready for the big tournament that is, is it less than a month away now, Elliot? It's coming up to it.
Yeah, a month away now from the World Cup. Huge.
How exciting. You get 20% off. Type in MLS UK in the discount code at the checkout to get that. And potentially for the, one of the last times, Elliot, if you were on your podcast provider, if you listened to us, if you enjoyed this episode, want to leave a rating, want to leave a review, there's one rule and one rule only.
Yeah, it's LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only. I've had a word with them and they've agreed if LA Galaxy do win MLS Cup, they will allow a 6th star on the podcast rating.
Yeah, I was there for that chat with the heads of Apple, and they definitely agreed to that. Going into next year, of course, when they could do that with Apple TV, we could make a special rating system just to promote MLS. But again, we don't work in scheduling for MLS. We don't work in podcasting for Apple, but that's a suggestion that I would make. Right, while we try and put ourselves into other jobs that would be paid far more than what we get paid, especially for doing this podcast, which is, well, close to zero. Let's hopefully enjoy another weekend of playoff action in MLS. But in the meantime, I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.